What's up, everybody? Welcome to Smoking Weed and Talking Mixed Martial Arts. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
This is episode number 52, coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. Today's episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about Bellator. We're going to be talking a whole lot about UFC 244, the BMF showdown between George Masvidal and Nate Diaz. Before we get into all that, let's check out our weed of the week, Paul.
Smoke weed every day.
This week, we are smoking on two fine strains of Las Vegas cannabis. We got some monster cookies left over from last week, which Paul just took a nice hit of. We also added to the mix some skunkberry today. Skunkberry is it's a hybrid cross of skunk number one and blueberry. And it sounds fairly typical, but the terpenes on each of those two strains blend for some real nice flavor and
effects.
Yeah,
it's got good flavor.
You get a nice kind of uplifting buzz on that skunk, and you get a little bit of a body high from that blueberry. It doesn't make you too tired. Smells good, tastes good. One of my favorites. Dude, so while we're smoking this weed, man, there's a crazy thing that happened this week. It's sort of related to fighting, but you had to have heard about fucking Randy Couture, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, Randy Couture had a crazy heart attack this week, but he's a fucking savage at the same time.
Yeah, those of you that somehow don't know who Randy Couture is, of course, multiple-time UFC heavyweight champion and now action movie star, wrestling legend, Randy Couture. How old is he now? 108?
He's gotta
be Randy's got to be close
like
to 50.
54, maybe,
yeah,
I think.
He's in all the Expendable movies, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, this fucking guy has a heart attack, right, which is terrible.
Yeah.
But then he walks himself to the hospital.
Here's the thing, though. He shows up to the gym, does a full workout, said his chest hurts, and then took a foam roller out and tried to roll his chest out. And then
foam roller, like a yoga mat roller?
Yeah.
Like
then,
a back roller?
Yeah. And then
tried to roll it out of his chest?
Yeah. And then he decides he's going to walk to the freaking hospital after the workout, though. And then he has a massive heart attack, only spends 2 days in the hospital, and then literally walks home. What the fuck?
Yeah, I heard he said I walked here, I'm going to walk home.
Yeah.
Damn.
Savage.
That's crazy. Has a workout, tries to roll the heart attack out with a foam roller. I was like, fuck it, finish up this shit, and then take a stroll to the hospital.
Jesus.
That's a man. That's a tough man. Well, if we didn't know he was tough already.
They literally took him into an emergency surgery.
Jesus Christ. I mean, thank God he's all right.
Yeah.
But that's a crazy story.
Yeah, fuck.
Like, that is some shit you would expect to see in his movie. Like, his character in Expendables has a heart attack. It's like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to roll it out with a roller. I'm going to finish shooting these motherfuckers. Then I'll walk over to the hospital.
Yeah, fuck.
People will be like, damn, this movie is fucking lame.
That's so unrealistic.
So unrealistic. Meanwhile, Mr. Couture is doing that shit in real life.
Yeah, and it seems like he's doing well. I mean, as good as he can be doing.
As good as you can for having a heart attack.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect someone to be, obviously he's in great shape.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect someone like that to have a heart attack to begin with.
Yeah. He might have a history of like his family or something though.
Yeah, who knows.
Yeah.
But that's crazy just to basically shrug some shit off like that.
Fuck yeah, Jesus. It's crazy.
I'm still trying to imagine feeling a heart attack pains and being like, nah, I need the fucking foam roller.
Yeah.
He's like asking his boy, George, give me the roller. I got something wrong with my arm. My left arm. Are you okay, champ? Yeah, I'm fucking fine. I don't know. I'm going to keep working out.
I'll keep it.
This is pain in my left arm.
I'm just going to see what happens.
Fucking ride this out.
Jeez.
God damn. Well, the speedy recovery, I think you're recovering fine. I'm guessing you're fucking walking home. I think
yeah,
the champ is
going
to be just fine. He's a savage. So word up to fucking
yeah,
Randy Couture. Jesus. I can only hope to be in that fine a shape if I have a heart attack. Right?
Shit.
Man, I'd say he is what? A bad motherfucker.
Yeah, jeez. He is.
God damn, if he was younger, he could be competing for this bad motherfucker title that's going to be sticking around, right?
Well, he almost had to, because that'll take us into this week we found out Nate Diaz from USADA tested positive for heightened levels of I don't know what, but
I heard it was an SARM, which I'm not exactly sure, but it's basically Ostarine. It's the same shit that O'Malley is tested positive for, which he's been a little upset on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because he is still claiming to be in like the exact same situation, but he's been suspended a year and a fucking half because he had the picograms come back like John did.
Yep.
But yeah, anyways, not to dive into that, but yeah, he tests positive for what, a trace amount. How do we find out about this? We don't find out because
we don't find out because you saw it. We don't find out because he gets pulled out of the fight, but we find out because Nate Diaz goes to social media and he goes on the attack on USADA and the UFC, saying that there's just no way this is his fault. He pretty much is like, here's the thing. It's like he took it as he pulled out of the fight and it was in his hands more than it was he failed the test and that he was pulled.
Yeah, he was basically like, he said, like, you know, I'm not showing up. Quiet about it.
Yeah.
And then he wasn't going to do that, that I was fucking cheating and fuck that. And then he made a comment about he doesn't even eat meat, which I assume that they must have said maybe it came from some meat you ate.
Yeah.
And he said he don't take any supplements. He takes whole food fucking vitamins and don't even eat fucking meat.
Yeah.
And he was going to be goddamned if somebody was going to call him a fucking cheater. And he ain't doing shit until USADA and UFC clear his motherfucking name, as I believe how he phrased that.
Yep.
And
later this week, they did exactly that on Friday night.
Yeah, yeah, later on that week, which is pretty quick turnaround, which some people have... Hey, I just want to make a quick aside, folks. The studio right next to us, they're doing some work as we're recording in studio here. So you might hear a pounding noise from time to time on today's episode. Nothing we can do about that construction here in the studio. But anyways, Nate, back to Nate. It's getting noisy.
Fuck. That shit is bad. Oh, are they fucking replacing their floor up there, dude?
It sounds like it. It's the folks next door just banging away. Can't change it. The hope is not too distracting, folks. But anyways, back to Nate. He says he ain't going to do shit until they get his fucking name cleared. And then they clear his name. They come out and they say, yeah, they found it in this multivitamin that he took. And then some people were saying that that was a little too quick. That in the past has taken months, and that makes it somehow fucking shady, right? But I think if you look at the big picture of everything that's happened with John Jones...
Yeah.
And then a handful of other fighters, like O'Malley, that have gotten caught up in something similar, and there's been another fighter that had the picogram pulsing. I think they're evolving, they're learning about minimum thresholds, and they're learning about these tiny trace amounts that it's not as big a deal as they thought it initially was.
Well, and that goes into the question of why they don't follow some of the bigger organizations in major sports and define thresholds where players can only have, like if it's like in the NFL, there's a certain level of something you have to reach in your system till it's deemed performance enhancing and you fail. You know what I'm saying?
If you have below that threshold, they don't even fucking talk about it. It's not breaking
news. Yeah, it's no big deal. So it's like, I feel like the UFC should go to a similar... Well, with USADA and maybe...
They absolutely should.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that they have it. Nobody knows what the fucking...
Did they sign a new deal with USADA?
That I don't know.
Hmm. I think it's coming up, though, the first one, but
yeah.
I can't remember exactly. But the fact of the matter is that there's just levels of bullshit that could always be contaminated in any kind of supplement you take. Because remember, if you look back, there's even been USADA-approved shit that has gone back, and someone had said it was tainted. You know what I'm saying? Like, obvious salt, third-party certified, and this is probably... You know what I'm saying? The point is that anything can happen when you're taking a bunch of supplements as a high level athlete.
Absolutely, and Nate wasn't even taking a whole bunch. But at some point, we have to say that these levels they're testing for is ridiculous. It came out, they said that he tested positive for what would have been 1/10,000th of a therapeutic dose. So if you took one therapeutic dose of this substance and divided it into 10,000 fucking mini doses, he took one of those.
Yeah.
And then it had absolutely no effect on his system whatsoever.
So then why are you flagging?
Why are we talking about this then? Why did this shit come out? Yeah. Why did Nate, you know, why are we even fucking talking about it? Y'all should just shut the fuck up and move on without telling anybody shit.
Yeah.
Christ on a stick, man.
Well, and I know Nate came out and said something about this, but at the end of the day, it was just a matter of time before USADA would be like, oh, well, then let's get to the bottom of this and let's go to, you know, arbitration, all this shit that they've done with countless other athletes. So it's the fact that Nate Diaz, like, put the heat on them.
He completely put the heat on them, which is the other reason that this got sped up so quick.
Yeah.
Because clearly, I mean, in a statement...
He said, fix this shit.
And they told him to keep quiet about it. It seems like they basically wanted him to keep quiet about it until the fight was over.
Yeah, and then they would do an investigation. Yeah.
And then he was like, fuck that. If it comes out, people are going to think I fucking cheated.
Yeah,
and he was like, fuck that.
Yeah. I don't blame him. If he knows.
Dude, it was an incredibly smart way to play
it.
And I don't know if he thought about the consequences of playing it that way, but either way, it was genius because it shifted the burden. The burden's always on the fucking fighter, right? This shifted the whole focus back on the USADA.
Well, here's the deal, too. And here's the biggest thing he's done here is he's put the ball back in the fighter's court. You know what I mean? Now he's not going to be the only guy to do this. Now that he's broken that threshold as far as, like, you know what? It's not as much on us. It should be more on them to be quick with whatever study and whatever stuff they have and be able to let us know what the fuck's going on. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I think he won't be the last fighter to do this, but he's definitely, like, Nate Diaz is super underrated when it comes to, like, rights for fighters and like, pay and shit like that, dude. He's, like, he's pushed the envelope.
It's part of its discrimination against his personality because he's a weed smoker, and he sometimes comes across as not being super eloquent.
Yeah,
but think so about people it. Think he's stupid. He's some dumb pothead, but that's far from the fucking truth.
Think about CBD.
Like, far from
CBD outside the UFC is probably one thing that has 90% of the fighters outside the UFC have on their trunks is some CBD company.
Yeah, and I started with Nate Diaz in a vape pen after that fucking fight.
Yeah,
at the press conference. I mean, really, where people were like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah, for real.
Created this BMF title out of thin air, that everybody's on board with that. And as we've often discussed on the show, despite
And what did all that come from?
It's not a one and
done. Just came from him jumping on the mic and he said he wants to fight him for the baddest motherfucker of the game belt.
Yep.
Like, and then...
Just like when he got the Conor fight, remember
it's just like, the infamous... It just has a ring to it, you know?
That's how we got the Conor fight, too, was his fucking... He gets on the mic and says, Conor, you...
Imagine if they would have done this with Conor in the second fight.
Yeah. That would have been cool.
Would have made a lot more money, probably. But it's going to fucking kill. This is 100% going to be the highest-selling pay-per-view of the year, without a doubt. There's
yeah,
no...
this could be the thing.
I don't give a shit about that. That December card is stacked, but this is the people's main event of the year.
This is a fight people have... are gravitating towards,
yeah,
for sure.
Street Jesus versus fucking Nate Diaz, dude.
209, bitches.
That shit's gonna... This is gonna be a fucking... Well, let's dive into it. Let's start from the top. Here's...
Yeah. It's the new damn button here at the show. Yeah, let's dive right into it, man.
Dude, fucking... This is going to be the...
This card is sick, top to bottom.
Yeah.
First off, prelims, early prelims, main card.
Who you got, dude? Let's just do it straight up.
Starting at the tip top, yep. Who's the baddest motherfucker? Who's going to walk away with that BMF title? It's going to be Nate motherfucking Diaz. This is his title. This is his fucking fight. This is Diaz time. I think this is the start of something great.
I agree.
Diaz fucking squad led by Nate. Nate's been leading that team for a long time. Now Nate's going to swoop on in and lead the fucking charge.
And I think this sets up Nate Diaz to just be, just to transcend the sport as, like, the guy now in the UFC.
Yeah.
Because I think then a win like this puts him in a real nice spot in the front row at Madison Square Garden when both those motherfuckers fight for the title. Or no, sorry, not in Madison Square, in Las Vegas, when those motherfuckers fight for the title.
Yeah, you're talking about Covington and Usman.
Absolutely, right? And I guarantee Covington and Usman will both be in the front row at Madison Square Garden as well, talking shit to Nate if he wins.
I'm sure.
And I do think Nate's going to win. I think he's going to win by a round three submission.
Dude, wouldn't you like to see Nate Diaz versus Colby Covington for the welterweight title? Tell me that's not.
I'd rather see Usman. I think Usman's a much better challenge for Nate, and it'll make him
a
better
Usman
fighter.
Will just wrestle fuck him.
That's the thing. I think even if he does, Nate's jiu-jitsu is at such a higher level than it was earlier in his career, that it'd be interesting to see. But yeah,
you're going to have his hands full with George Masvidal.
Yeah.
We both think he's going to win, but Masvidal is not some kind of walkover. But
the thing, though, is Colby Covington and him, it's a good fight to, like, for the build-up and all that shit would be fun.
Dude, how many punches would get thrown in that fight?
A lot.
A lot.
Same thing with the Usman fight, though. Usman's got a fucking gas tank for days, too, though. That's what makes this Usman and Colby fight interesting. But then you throw another cardio fucking killer like Nate, too.
Yeah.
That's one thing I think that's going to hurt Masvidal in this fight. When was the last time Masvidal was in a 5-round fight that went all 5 rounds? I don't think he's ever been in one.
I'm not certain, but a 5-rounder?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in plenty of 3s, but he hasn't been in many.
He's been in, I think he's been in two main event cards, like two main event like fight nights.
Yeah, that was his last ones, and they didn't go to
distance. Exactly, and they didn't go to distance, so.
That's true. He's not going to have that 5-round.
But Diaz, on the other hand, has been in, I think, 3 or 4, maybe 5. Not more than that, because early in his career, they had him on a lot of those fight night cards.
Yeah, but they weren't doing 5 rounds then.
Yeah, they weren't. But still, Nate's been 5 rounds a few times, and Nate's got cardio for days. And I think in the 3rd round, near the end, they're both going to... I feel like it's going to be like a stand. It's going to be like a dirty boxing type fight. I think like there's going to be a lot of clinch work, a lot of Nate with the collar tie, like throwing the bows, hitting him in the body, but Masvidal's going to be hitting him back at the same time. You know what I'm saying? I don't think either of them gets knocked down.
Masvidal's not going for a takedown.
No, I mean knocked down either of them. I don't think either of them knocks each other down.
Yeah, probably not. They're both strong.
If somebody does, though, I bet you Masvidal knocks Nate down just because Nate tends to get knocked down, but he never gets knocked out.
Yeah, Conor knocked him down a few times.
Knocked him down, what, 4 or 5 times in that second fight?
The only person ever to fucking KO him is that crazy Josh Thompson.
Yeah, but Josh Thompson.
Shin to the forehead.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking kick.
Josh Thompson fucking openly kicked him in the head 4 fucking times. Nate was so dazed he couldn't put his hands up, and Thompson just fucking straight up just kicked him in the head till he went away.
Dude, anybody watching that got a little bit of a concussion.
Yeah, but since then, though, Nate's never really... when Nate gets knocked down, he's never really in trouble, is my point. Because he's always willing to fight back. He does a very good job doing that. It's like whenever he gets dazed, he goes into his dirty boxing and he does really well. So yeah, I like Diaz. Round 3 submission. Rear naked choke.
That sets up all kinds of possibilities. So yeah, I like it too. I like fucking Diaz by decision.
But it's not going to be no walk in the park, guarantee that.
No, it's going to be a great fight.
Masvidal's game as fuck.
It's going to be a great... Masvidal could win. It's not like he
very
doesn't
well,
chance.
Yeah.
He
could very well could
I'm
win.
Not going to be sitting here shocked.
Because Masvidal could drop anybody in this division anytime with the right shot.
Yeah. This is Nate's moment, man. This is his shit.
This is his chance. Yeah, this is his chance. Because...
Connor's not even in the spotlight anymore. It'll be crazy because if they get that 3rd fight going, it could be Nate that has the one with all the fucking shine.
Or what if Connor waits for Nate to fight Colby, win the belt, and then Connor fights for the 170 belt? How upsetting would every 170 pounder be?
Did he think he says he's fighting January 18th? We'll see.
Supposedly it's against Cowboy Cerrone.
I've heard of Cerrone or Gaethje.
I heard it's like really it's high Cerrone chance of it being Cerrone. Yeah. Which is smart.
I mean,
two guys coming,
they are
loss.
Both coming off
yeah,
a loss.
Yeah, a couple so, guys coming yeah. off a loss in the top 5. It's not like Cerrone's. Actually, Cerrone's lost 2 fights in a row, hasn't he?
Like 3.
No, just 2. Because he won his last fight before.
He lost to Pettis.
No, he didn't lose to Pettis. He lost to Tony Ferguson, and he's lost to Justin Gaethje, but he was on a win streak before that.
Was he?
Yeah, because remember the Tony and him fight was a huge fight. At the time, they both were on a win streak, and it was like, who was going to fight Khabib next? Cowboys definitely only lost 2 in a row.
Well, he's if he gets the fight, I mean that would be pretty interesting. Connor's still saying he gives his purse to charity.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I'm about to pull up his record right here and see what's up. Don't want to do him dirty.
It's two losses.
Yeah, Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson. Then he beat Iaquinta, Hernandez, and Mike Perry.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He lost. He did have a three-fight streak.
Yeah. He beat Mike Perry, and then he went back to 55. Beat Hernandez, and then beat.
He lost to Masvidal, then a decision to Lawler, and then that Darren Till fight.
Yeah.
Then he beats Medeiros, lost to Leon Edwards, and he went on a three-fight streak, and then he lost to Ferguson and Gaethje.
Yeah. So you know, it's just classic Donald Cerrone-ness, you know, up and down. So I think he's still game for the Conor fight. I think Conor's down for it. I think Conor wins that fight.
Yeah, I think Conor wins that fight fairly handily. I mean, but it should be
fun. I think that ties into this fight as well, because this who's to say either of these guys doesn't win this fight and just call Conor out?
Well, Conor said he wants the winner of this fight.
And Masvidal has been all over all the airwaves saying Conor's name, talking about he'd fucking murder him.
Yeah.
Literally, he's like, I can't fight him. They'd put me in jail because I'd fucking murder him. That's what he said.
Well, that's funny.
So,
but there's a lot of heat there.
I like that though, because then the Diaz 3 fight too I like it. And Conor's kind of crazy though. He just wants that 170 fight. I don't know why. Or both these guys. What a storyline that I've heard a few people out there say, and we've talked about this as well. Both these guys might show up at 165 pounds.
That'd be interesting, too.
I mean, not really any, like, crazy accredited sources, but I've seen a lot of people online talking about it. But that would even be more of, like, a needle-push move for both these guys.
Yeah, I'd be pretty interested if that happened, too. But I don't know. We'll see. It's right around the corner. I
mean, yeah, literally a week away, dude. I can't believe it. It just seemed like it was so long ago. Like it was like going to be so far away, like not too long ago. Is what I mean? Like around the press conference time, it was like, man, we still got a lot of time. And then now it's just creeped up on us hella quick. Man, last week I was worried, though. I was like, if they would have canceled the top of that fight, what would they have done? But then I looked at the rest of the card, and I saw the co-main event, Kelvin Gastelum versus Darren Till.
Yeah, that's 185 pounds, which is a new class for
And hey, that could Darren. Be the baddest motherfucker in the game fight, too. Both these guys are two game motherfuckers. Not too long ago, Masvidal was sitting across there from Till, and they were talking about how game each other were and how they were willing to go in there and just knock each other dead. Whatever happens, happens. And we've already seen Gastelum. Yeah, that should be a
great scrap, too. I tend to favor Gastelum in this fight, honestly.
I like Till.
I'm pretty interested in how Till looks without going through his ridiculously chronic murderous weight cut.
Did you see last week? Last week he posted a photo of himself. Nah, he looks like a fucking animal right now. He looks like super in shape. He hasn't fought in since
Masvidal slept in.
What was that? June?
Yeah, it's been a while. So you like Gastelum?
I like Till.
Gastelum coming off that his last performance and is losing.
See, I think
good against Whitaker.
That's one thing is I think Gastelum is. I feel like he's just not. I think his last fight like that takes something away from you like long term. He took a lot of big fucking shots, and that
in that fifth round.
That fifth round and the third round, too.
Well, he dealt a lot of big shots in that fight.
He did, but in the fifth round, he was a zombie and was just getting eaten alive. Like, fucking, like, I don't know how Adesanya in the fifth round picked it up the way he did, but in the fifth round, Gastelum got, like, fucking career-shortening shots hit him multiple occasions. Like,
I don't mean to laugh, but yeah.
Like,
it was pretty brutal.
So I'm very curious. And honestly, Till, too. Till's last knockout, like, that was pretty scary, too. Like,
he's been embarrassed a couple times.
Yeah, so, like, both these guys really have something to prove here. So, yeah, I'm taking Till.
Taking Gastelum, but it's going to be a great fight no matter what.
What is your how do you think it happens?
Oh, I think Gastelum's going to knock him out probably third round. It'll be late.
I got Till knocking him out in a second.
Knocking Kelvin Gastelum him out?
Yeah. I think those shots did something to his chin.
Yeah. We all know that won't happen, but I'm just kidding. How about that Steven Wonderboy Thompson making his comeback fight against Vicente Luque?
I like that fight.
That dude's a beast, man. That, him and Perry.
He's got good size, too. So, like, I think Thompson's not going to tower over him like he has done with a few of his opponents.
I don't know. Wonder Boy.
Wonder Man.
It's about time he becomes Wonder Man instead of Wonder Boy.
I don't know. I think Thompson probably gets back on track here, but I would not count out Luque at any point.
Yeah, it's
here.
Hard to say because Luque's got such a
he's
good
won
fighter,
nine in a row, right?
He's not a like an animal. Like Luque's a fucking animal.
Yeah, Luque is like knock down, drag it out, fight kind of guy.
Get in your face, fight dirty, fucking get
well.
Bloody,
and that's the thing is
war.
That's also Thompson's biggest strength as well as his biggest weakness because if he's able to stay on the outside and make it his fight, he will be very successful. But he can't get too comfortable getting on the inside when he's standing with him because then it could turn into a dogfight.
Yeah.
So it's really going to come down to how Thompson handles Luque's pressure and how he's able to not get cut off around the octagon and be able to, you know, because, you know, he's point karate fighter, you know. He's going to hit you with the big strike. He's not looking to and I know Thompson does pepper people sometimes, but he's looking for the big kicks, the big punches, you know what I mean? So,
it'll be interesting.
It's going to be a good one, I think.
I don't know. I think Luque is going to fucking win that fight. That's who I'm picking. I know the smart pick is probably Wonder Boy, but I think he's going to lose, man. I just feel it in my bones.
Probably. Yeah, I kind of agree.
What are the odds are on that fight here?
Go it's got to be close.
I don't bet a lot of fights, but I don't gamble much later living here in Vegas, honestly.
I guess I'll take Luque as well.
Yeah.
Just because Thompson's a little on the back nine of his career. And Luque seems like he's really putting together a run recently. That Barbarina fight, too, and then freaking Mike Perry, and then This is going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be a good fight. We're both picking Luque there. What's next on the board? We got a good heavyweight. We got Derek Lewis coming back after his knee surgery.
Derek Lewis with two healed knees. I wonder if he stretched this camp.
He might have even stretched. He might have even jogged a little.
What?
This dude could be putting in hour trainings a day instead of them 30 minutes. No, we joke because he jokes, but Derek Lewis come back. Ivanov.
I like Derek Lewis in this fight. I think this is Derek Lewis's chance to really put
Ivanov,
him.
Ivanov, that's how you say it, right?
Yeah.
Ivanov.
You want to hear some funny shit? My roommate saw this fool at Blue Martini the other night.
Really?
Yeah. Ivanov? Not Blue Martini. What? The one over here, the Martini Bar.
Oh, the Martini?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, shit. That's hilarious.
You saw him over there? Yeah.
Did you know who I sat by in that bar once?
OJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, he told me about that shit.
Fucking OJ Simpson, two bar stools over. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I think Derek Lewis is going to sleep him.
Yeah, I think
that's
so,
what
too.
I think. I think Derek I think Lewis so is going to sleep him and then be
but
back
you can't
in the
count
mix.
Him out also because Ivanov is his game, but I think Derek Lewis
he's
is
game.
Just
he's
a different level.
I just think Derek Lewis with two knees and feeling good is going to be something we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see what fucking happens.
Speaking of a Derek Lewis, I know this is completely off topic and we have not talked about this before the show, but someone who's talked about Derek Lewis in the past, fucking Greg Hardy is going to fight Alexander Volkov in 2 weeks on a 2 week notice in fucking Russia. What the fuck, dude? He's going to get his ass beat.
Thank God. It's about time somebody came along and beat Greg Hardy's ass. I've never
But if he
be...
doesn't, then he's probably going to fight Derek Lewis next.
I've never been so interested.
In a Greg Hardy fight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That card went from to actually pretty legit. It was we had Dos Santos and Volkov, and then that fell out, so it seemed like
Volkov is no joke, man. Yeah, see what's up with Greg Hardy. I mean, all the
but don't forget
charges aside.
Yeah.
You know, the guy does seem to have some fucking fighting skills, clearly.
Just don't bring your inhaler.
Just don't bring your inhaler. Try not to cheat.
Don't kick him in the nuts.
And I can't see him possibly getting past this dude. I mean, if he goes out and sleeps him in fucking 20 seconds, I guess I'll be eating my words next episode.
The only thing is, like, shit. Volkov has, in the past, been known to get, if you pressure him,
Lewis beat him, but Derrick Lewis beat him with that last second KO.
And Derrick Lewis was getting beat, but
he was getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, he was getting
the whole fucking fight.
Yeah.
Like, and he took first round, not too
and
bad.
And then he took his shorts off, and then fucking ever since then, he's the biggest fucking star in heavyweight.
Yep.
Yeah. I love Derrick Lewis. He's the shit.
My balls was hot fight. But yeah.
I think Derrick Lewis could very well fight fucking Greg Hardy after that. I think that's a fight that both them want.
And could you imagine some bizarre world where Greg Hardy actually does it, goes up and becomes UFC champ? I think I might.
I don't think he'll become the champion. I think. God. I don't think he has what it takes to beat somebody like Stipe or.
Dear God.
Daniel.
I don't think Derrick Lewis or can beat Stipe either.
Or Junior. Or Derrick Lewis.
Derrick Lewis gonna fuck him up. Alexander Volkov is probably going to fuck him up.
Yeah, I could see a scenario where he beats Volkov, though, because Volkov has been known to take big shots and keep his hands in weird places. Like, when he was fighting Derrick Lewis, his hands were out like this, and he's just
like some
old timey face. Yeah.
John L. Sullivan boxing.
Yeah. He's long, but like in all the wrong ways.
That's why when we were watching that Lewis fight, we knew that Lewis could KO him because he kept his hands and was like, dude, he could do
Lewis
this.
Lewis just kept throwing it till it landed. Yeah.
It happened.
He had to get past his hands, literally.
It wasn't like he slipped in through his fucking clever guard.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, it could happen. But most likely it's not. I mean, honestly.
All right, back to the card.
All right, well, we're still on the main pay-per-view card here with all these fights. So Derrick Lewis... We're still on the main pay-per-view. We still got Kevin Lee versus Gregor Gillespie at 155 pounds, which is
Gillespie.
Taking
Gillespie.
Dude, I really like Kevin Lee. I can't pick against him, man. That's my boy. I gotta fucking say Kevin Lee.
I fuck with Kevin Lee, but at the end of the day, Gregor Gillespie is on the trail to the title. And I really hope he gets to Khabib. Because I think Gregor Gillespie gives Khabib all the issues, bro. Like, all the issues.
You think?
Someone like him or Justin Gaethje would give Khabib the issues, dude. Those are his two toughest fights in the weight class. And Gregor needs a huge performance here to get himself in the conversation to possibly ever get that fight. And I think Kevin Lee is, unfortunately, the perfect victim for him to get his name out there, because Kevin Lee has a good following. Like I said, I fuck with Kevin Lee. I like him, but he's just kind of on the downward trending side of his career, unfortunately, right now. I know he's still young, but like, he's had some tough outings these last few fights, and he's had a hard time. And he's only been with Faraz for so long. It's only a first fight with him, isn't it?
It is his first fight with him. I just I like Kevin.
Yeah.
When I met him, he dug the podcast shirt. So he was like, "Yeah, that's a cool shirt." I don't know.
I'm sorry, Gregor Gillespie's.
I'm picking Lee. You're picking Gillespie. You're probably right, but I'm rooting for my boy. He's gonna fucking win.
Yeah.
He's gonna pull
through.
This
next fight is huge.
Yeah, this first fight on the prelims now. Yeah, we got a big fight at light heavyweight, 205ers. Oh. We got Corey Anderson and Johnny Walker.
This is the close it out on ESPN2. So this. This is probably why they put him in the main event of this one.
The winner of this fight is the argument against Dominic Reyes' title shot.
Let's say Johnny Walker just goes out. Corey Anderson goes to shoot in on him. If Corey Anderson shoots in on Johnny Walker and he hits him with a flying knee and KOs him, Johnny Walker's fighting John Jones next. But if Corey Anderson goes in there and double legs Johnny Walker and just rocks him for fucking five rounds, or three rounds, I mean... We're definitely going with Dominic Reyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct on that, dude. I think a splashy Johnny Walker win leads to a title shot. A boring Corey Anderson win leads to Dominic Reyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate for Corey.
Nothing against Corey. He's a hell of a fighter, but he's boring, man. He's hard to get.
It's hard to get watched.
And he's going against a guy who's known for his flashy awesomeness.
Yeah.
Like, he's going against a dude that's like.
But I don't know if Johnny Walker's ready is the problem.
Man, that's some purple weed right there. Oh, you got some in there? Yeah. That fucking skunkberry was green. This monster cookies are purple. Purples make sense with the lineage. Them granddaddies. Purple herbals.
But yeah, so I don't know.
Who you picking? I want Johnny Walker to win, so I'm going to pick Johnny Walker.
I think Corey Anderson gets it.
I could see him grinding out some decision here. I could see that. I don't know. I'd like to see Walker versus Jones, so I'm going with that pick.
What if Corey Anderson knocks out Johnny Walker?
Yeah, what if it's the opposite of what we're saying? What if Corey Anderson comes out and just lights fucking Johnny Walker on fucking up, KOs him in some splashy-ass way? Does he take that rub off of fucking Reyes enough to get the title shot?
Maybe. Because you got to think about it this way with Corey Anderson. If his striking just like looks ridiculously better, like crazy better.
Is he done anything this camp to? Has he brought in somebody new?
I don't know. No, he trains. He trains at up there with Frankie's team.
Mark Henry and them.
Yeah, he's with Mark Henry, so he's got good striking coaching around him.
Yeah, he's got a good striking.
But here's the thing, you gotta think. If he goes out and just shows a ridiculously high-level performance striking-wise, how much different is there between him and John Jones? Because Corey Anderson is also a national champion wrestler.
Oh, he's a hell of a wrestler. That's why he uses it so much. That's why people think he might be boring. But I don't know. I'm not too worried about John Jones facing wrestlers the way he handled DC. I mean,
yeah, but
I know everybody brings a different type of thing to the table, but I'm not too concerned about that any more than anybody else. Not taking anything away from Corey Anderson. But
yeah, no, Corey Anderson's never going to beat John. I'm just speaking all hypotheticals.
It would be interesting, though, if he comes out and risks it, because that's a risk on his part, too. What does Corey do? Does he know that if he does he go out and just stay safe, grind that win out, and then hope for the best? Or does he go out and just risk
if
throwing
he wins
hands?
This fight? If he wins this fight, we're looking at a possible next fight. It's going to be a guy like the winner of Jacare and Jan, yeah. Rather than the title shot. Unless he wins and just jumps on the mic and says some shit that fucking gets so many retweets and fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we're still living in the Conor McGregor effect, and it boils down to every fight.
Yeah. It's who's making the most noise. And I don't think Dominic made the biggest noise. He made the biggest noise performance-wise, but, like, promotion-wise.
He didn't get the soundbite shit that everybody's looking for these
days.
Exactly,
yeah.
You know? Yep. But not everybody can do that, but
yeah, he didn't do the, hey, Conor McGregor, you took everything you got, motherfucker. I want to fight your ass. That's what he should have said.
I'm going to fight your ass next. All right, well, what's next on the list?
Well, then we go to another good fight in 145 pounds.
Coughing our asses
we
up.
We got Mark Waramigakane, Mr. Finland. Going against Shane Burgos, who's a tough.
That's a tough out. Yeah, he's a tough dude.
Fun fact about Mark Waramigakane: he took about a year off this last year and a half, and fought 5 boxing matches.
Is that right?
Yeah, to shore up his
Show up your striking.
Striking game, yeah. And he already has top level ground game, so.
Well, that's a move I like. I like it when fighters do shit like that.
Yeah.
How'd he do, you know?
He said it was 4-1.
That's not bad.
Yeah. And he trains out of SBG as well. So. I'm liking him in this fight.
I'm liking him too.
By decision.
Yeah, I'd say a decision. Chan's a pretty tough guy.
Yeah.
Get knocked out. We got a fucking scrap at 170 next on these prelims here.
185 at that.
Is it 185?
No. Tavares is 85. Really?
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. It's not 170. It's 185. Brad Tavares versus Shahbazyan.
Yeah, Shahbazyan is... Took the UFC by the storm.
I got to say, I was not a believer. You know, we first saw this kid when we went to the Ultimate Fighter finale.
I wasn't a non-believer in him. I was just non-believer in the people around him as far as his coaching staff.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to still say it. I think his head coach, Tarverdian's terrible.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that he's probably only succeeding just with the same reason Ronda Rousey succeeded, just because of her sheer talent. Yeah. So this kid,
and a fight IQ. Along,
and we seen him at the Ultimate Fighter. We sat right by his family in the stands and all. Like, it seemed
he's
exciting.
Tough, yeah.
He seemed tough, but I was like, whatever. He's not going to get anywhere because he's fucking around with Edmund Tarverdian. And now here he is. He's been kicking ass every time we've seen him. We've seen all his fights since then. The kid looks fucking great.
He must have other people behind the scenes around him that help round his game better.
Just a well of talent, maybe.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, just for the fact of like having his game being so rounded off. Because he has a very solid game all around.
He does. I'm a believer. This kid, he could be a contender for sure.
But this is the ultimate test because Brad Tavares is no fucking joke. He is a tough motherfucker, and he will stand and bang, and he will not go away.
I know. I remember we were having a similar discussion about this when Israel Adesanya fought Tavares.
Yeah.
You know, that this is a good test for somebody like this. And here we are once again. Tavares is kind of being tested.
But the only difference,
young up and
the only difference is I don't think Edmund is as devastating as...
No, he's not the talent that Adesanya is, but he is a talent.
Yeah, definitely.
And he's definitely looked better every fight. Like, I'm not skeptical anymore.
So. I hate to say it, but I think this is too much too soon for him, though. I think Tavares gets it done.
I can't pick against him now. I was picking against him before. I'm saying Shahbazyan gets it done, probably in short work.
Think so?
Yeah. I think he might make
short
work.
Good luck doing that to Brad Tavares.
I know.
Brad Tavares, I think what is going to be his biggest weakness is I think he's going to be trying a little too hard to put him away because all his UFC fights have been pretty quick and he was able to have his way with them, that I think Tavares may be able to fit those holes with his own big shots and put him in some trouble.
He's such a big dude. Oh, I think he's going to be a lot taller than
maybe, but Tavares is really explosive.
We'll see.
You know?
It's a fucking great fight. Like, the exciting thing about this UFC 244 card,
every fight has major implications.
We're literally just going down the card here, and all these fights are fucking good. Like, this is a solid fucking test of a fight here.
Yeah.
And if Brad Tavares fucking wins and knocks this kid off, that's a nice little feather in his cap to get
the and put him right back in that top 10 mix. Because he's, what, 15 right now?
I believe he is, yeah.
Yeah, so you put him right back in the top 10 if he's able to go out and look really, really good.
We hit this fucking.
The only fight that really doesn't have any crazy implications is probably next, and that's that Andre Arlovsky versus however the fuck you say that guy's name. Not
I
even
think it's
try that.
Jarzindho Rosenstruck. I don't know. I don't know. He's a UFC newcomer to me, at least. He's 8-0 though. He's heavyweights.
Yeah, it sounds like a litmus test here.
I'm hoping this is a fight for Andre to get back on track. Because I don't know nothing about. I don't know the first thing about his opponent here. But if anybody ever needed
thinking
a fight to get back on
around.
Track, it would be Arlovsky. But the UFC tends to just feed the old to the young. It's the fight game. They don't do too many boxing. They'll sometimes give you those fights to just kind of, you know, get your course straightened out a little bit.
Yeah.
Get your winning ball rolling again. I don't think they're doing that for Andre here.
No.
I hope so, but...
I think this guy's going to beat him.
He's probably going to get fucked up. I don't want him to, though. I'm picking Andre because I don't know nothing about this other guy.
Take this other guy, but just by knockout in the second round.
Ooh, second round knockout.
Yeah.
You think it's time? You think it's over then?
Yeah.
It's been over, dude.
It's honestly, unfortunately, it's been over, in my opinion.
If he wasn't a heavyweight, I'd agree with you, but I think a heavyweight, you're like, it's extended a little bit longer. But if he gets swept here, then
yeah,
he
knockout needs to be losses done. Don't get taken out of your head though.
No, they don't.
In this next fight, we got a girl who I don't even know why she's taking this fight, to be honest. But Caitlin Jakugian is fighting Jennifer Maia, coming off the win of she's beat Modafari not too long ago.
Yeah.
This is a good fight for both of them. I don't understand. I thought Caitlin was next for Valentina, and then they end up going with who'd she just fight?
They end up going.
Who did she just?
She doesn't get the title shot.
That's what I'm saying. Who'd she just fight?
Fuck.
That beat her before. What the fuck is her name?
This nice pause of dead air is once again brought to you by Sticky Icky Green Marijuana. Well, either way, she was set for a title shot.
Liz Carmouche,
yeah.
Yeah, and then, then
yeah,
Caitlin Jakugian's kind of just left in the dark, but she said she was going to hold out for a title shot. But now you're going to fight Jennifer Maia, which I don't know if that's a great choice. She's tough. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
But I still take Caitlin, probably.
I'll take Caitlin, too.
She's on a roll. I feel like she's probably going to be the next fight for Valentina. I don't think she's ready. I don't know if she's ready, but
she's not
win
that fight.
I don't think anyone's ever going to be ready, though. So.
No.
Unless your name's Macy Barber.
In the way that, I mean, she could lose, but it almost means like she had to come
and
in.
Be like, what the fuck happened? Yeah.
You know.
Unless someone legitimately dominated her, which I just don't see happening.
I don't see it in this current crop of fighters, at least.
Nah.
And there's always somebody that's going to come along and whoop that ass, but I don't see it for a minute.
Yeah.
How about Wyman Good versus Chance Rencontre? Dude, I can't pick against Chance, dude. He's looked so savage in his last fight, pretty fucking good, too.
Dude. Lyman Good, though, has got something to prove here. Lyman Good is legit as fuck. He lost two fights ago, but then won his last one, so this is a chance to really get back on
track. And he's a good fighter. He's a guy.
Former champion, isn't he?
Too. Yeah. Yeah, he's about, Bellator?
Yeah. He's a tough guy.
He's absolutely.
So, yeah, I like Chance, though, still.
Yeah. I think he's gonna pull out the win here.
Yeah.
Maybe Savage. Maybe decision.
Could be.
Because Lyman Good is very tough.
He is a tough motherfucker.
I'm gonna go in there and finish him. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
What a good card. I think there's one other fight. Is a Julio Arce. I don't know. No idea how to say his name.
Yeah.
Versus Hakeem. Tawadu.
He's probably a tough butchering his name. I'm sorry,
I like him.
I'm taking Tawadu.
Yeah, I'm taking him too. He's the only guy. I don't know anything about the other guy. I've seen Tawadu.
He's a tough motherfucker.
However, I mispronounced his name, dude. He looked like a beast in his last fight, though. I do remember that.
Yeah.
And picking him win too. And that's the whole card. Yep. Those are solid fights top to bottom.
One thing I wanted to bring up as well. On UFC 245, we had a couple of fights announced this week. We had... Jose Aldo is now fighting Marlon Moraes. Yeah.
At
135 pounds.
135. How skinny is
Jose Aldo
fucking
looks
Jose Aldo
so
looking,
skinny.
Man.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God. I barely even recognize him in that picture.
I know. He's like, I just went on
it was
a diet.
Like,
it's like,
it was
what?
Like, is that,
what
is that,
diet
is that Jose Aldo's little brother?
Yeah, fuck. He said he walks around at 150 pounds. That's ridiculous.
He looks...
And then you got to wonder where Moraes' head's at after that. He basically got mind-fucked by Henry Cejudo. We're in a fight that looked like he was extremely dominant, but the tide turned really quick, and he got put away. So this is his real chance to put his stamp on where he's at in this division and get his chance to maybe get a rematch. Because there is claim, somewhat, for a rematch if he were to go out here and beat Aldo.
Yeah, especially convincingly.
Yeah.
But...
And then also, on that card, who do you got in that fight first?
I can't pick. Man,
I don't know. Aldo? That's tough. I think Aldo's going to win that fight.
I'm guessing Aldo because it's fucking Jose Aldo. I mean,
yeah, they're former training partners, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Former training partners.
Yeah, I can't pick against fucking Aldo.
Yeah, I'm taking Aldo as well.
That's an interesting addition to 135.
But you know what? We're starting to get some clarity at 135, though, because they also added on there Uriah Faber versus Piotr Jan.
Yes.
Which I like that fight as well.
Yeah, that's the number one contender fight.
Possibly, yeah. Both of it could be very similar to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago with Dominic Reyes and then this Corey Anderson-Johnny Walker fight.
Yeah.
You know, both these fights at 135 where it's really wide open if you think about it. Like, there's been rumors that it's going to be Henry and Dominic. That's kind of where it seems like it might head, but this could very well be the next guy up, you know.
For sure.
Which kind of sucks because Aljamain Sterling is still without a fight, although there's been rumblings that he was going to fight Frank Yeager.
Yeah, he got injured, I do believe.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Does
because he's
suck.
Fucking. His last fight really looked like he was the number one contender, and yeah. Now these guys could very well come in and swoop his title shot.
It could happen.
I think the whole 125 thing is dead. I don't think Cejudo's going to 25 again.
No, they need to just strip him of that title. Have Benavidez fight Figueroa.
Yeah,
for the interim or vacant or whatever they
do. Whatever you're going to do with the division, because it also, like, at the same time, they might just still collapse it.
Well, I hope they don't do that after all this nonsense, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's the fucking UFC. They do whatever.
Pretty much. But, yeah, so let's transition.
That wraps up that a bit, yeah. So, yeah.
Let's transition over to Bellator for a little bit.
Bellator had some interesting things happen. There were back-to-back Bellator events a few days ago. We saw the first one, Frank Mir versus Roy Nelson. It was headlined by, and then the second one was the welterweight finals in the welterweight tournament for that championship plus $1 million prize.
There's some fucking good fights there. Ed Ruth won.
Yeah.
Fucking obviously Frank Mir got it done.
Frank Mir decisions, big country.
Frank Mir needed that, too, just to get on track in Bellator. You know, that first fight sucked for him, dude. Yeah, he got beat by Fedor, remember?
Yeah,
that was tough.
That was tough. He got crazy.
He hurt him, too, though. Remember? Because he hurt him, and then he just got a little too...
He was like, oh, shit, I just hurt Fedor. Like,
what? Yeah, and then he got fucking rocked.
And then,
that fucking throw, too. That was nice.
Yeah, it was.
Fedor, like, you know, people can say what they want about Fedor, but he's... in cage awareness is so high that, like, even at an older age, he's able to find his way out of bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Obviously.
I think that's his biggest strength against a lot of these guys. Although Mir's been in the octagon forever as well, but you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying. It's probably time for Big Country to hang it up now.
Yeah, unfortunately.
He's a nice guy. It's been a fun run. Lots of cool shit.
Yeah.
But it's time to.
He's what, lost four straight now?
Yeah, and not doing too good before that either. I mean, he had his run. He was going for a minute in the UFC. Obviously, a great run on Tough. I mean, he was the IFL heavyweight champ fucking way before then.
Yep.
So it's been great. It's been fun. Everybody knows what Big Country is, but damn, we don't need to keep seeing him fight. It's getting kind of pointless. I mean, he's not getting KO'd and slept, but I mean, these aren't fun fights, dude.
Yeah, they're not.
It's not the way it used to be with the guy. Yeah. It's kind of a chore to watch. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty tough.
I love you, Big Country, but Jesus, that's what's hanging about, bro.
Yeah, for sure. And then we had the next fight, on Saturday night, we had the fight with Rory McDonald and Lima at the top.
Yeah, so for not only the welterweight championship, but the tournament finals, and its $1 million fucking prize.
And some champagne from 50 Cent.
And some champagne from 50 Cent. And it was, the second time these guys met. Rory won the first match to get the title.
Very close decision, Rory had to be carried out of the octagon after.
Yeah, it was brutal. And then we wind up seeing
Lima this time just being able to execute the exact game plan he had in the first fight, but just was able to do it. You know, He didn't really change his game plan up very much, but this time he was able to stuff the takedowns, and he was able to keep Rory on the feet and win the exchanges, and that's why he won this fight. And very convincingly as well. It looked like Rory just didn't belong in there.
Yeah, he didn't look like he didn't want to be there very much.
And he's unfortunately looked like that in his last three fights.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's got that burning desire anymore. I wouldn't be surprised if he retires. I mean, he almost did before. Yeah.
The unfortunate part is, well, not unfortunate. Really, it's really up to him at the end of the day. But this was going to be his last fight on his Bellator contract. But because he lost the fight, his contract is extended one more fight because he has an automatic rematch clause.
So he would have been
a free agent had he won.
I think he would have fought with a little bit more urgency, with not just the title defense, but also $1 million prize plus free agency.
Yeah, for sure.
Coming off the shine of their tournament win, flush with cash.
You know what, though? I can't really see it that way, though, because Diego Lima's been on a fucking...
Yeah, it's not like...
Douglas Lima, I'm sorry. Jesus Christ.
Yes, he's eating...
Douglas Lima's been fucking... Yeah. He's been on a freaking tear. His last fight against MVP fucking slept him. Yeah. His fight against Koroshkov. You know what he's done? He's really found a way that in the fights that he had that were closer earlier in his career, where he had game plan like lapses, he was able to overcome them and really focus on his game plan and bolt his rematches to win the next time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
He's a tough motherfucker. I think he's...
It's the third time. He's a three-time
champ. In all honesty, he could very... 170 is tough in the UFC, but I think he's just as good as any UFC champion at 170 pounds.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I think...
he's one of the best fighters in the world, pound for pound.
Yeah, for sure.
He's legit as fuck. He is devastating on the feet.
What's going to be next for him?
Maybe someone like Ed Ruth, who won the other night.
Could be.
Someone, I don't know. It's just like he's beat everybody at 170 pounds. There's only so many more names he can fight. It'd either be like Gracie, Ruth, like that. Maybe Dylan Danis down the line. No, I'm just kidding. There's just like only so many names at 170 pounds in Bellator that he hasn't fought or hasn't fought recently. Maybe like, I don't know, Daly, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
He's coming off that TKO win here this past week.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There's only so many guys left for him to fight.
Well, right now, motherfucker's happy with his $1 million prize.
Hell yeah, I'd be too.
Getting his title back, being the tournament champ as well. So they issue a belt for that too. So he's got a collection of trophies, a collection of cash.
And a sick ass belt. I like Bellator's
rubber
belts.
Match in the future is, I mean, that's probably the most likely thing is if Rory still has this desire to fight, then he has that automatic rematch.
They'll get a trilogy
and it's
out
a rubber
of it.
Match. It'll be a trilogy. Yeah. It makes sense. They're 1-1. But I just don't know if Rory's got that, but we'll see. We'll see what's up with that.
Yeah.
This
was pretty dominant, though. Very.
Yeah, it wasn't close.
I think it was 49-46 in the end, right?
It was 50-45 times two and then 149-46. One judge gave one round to Rory.
Yeah. So, yeah. Not much question
not
there.
Not much. So, there's other interesting news in Bellator. They had another fight announcement, which is kind of a crazy one, but we got a heavyweight bout between the aforementioned Fedor versus Rampage Jackson, who's sticking around a heavyweight.
On the New Year's card against Ryzen. It's going to be Ryzen versus...
And Ryzen versus Bedor. Or Bellator. Ryzen versus Bellator.
Yeah. I like it.
I like it, too. It's
I'm
cool.
surprised their paths haven't crossed before in the past.
Yeah, maybe it's just, I don't know why either, but we're getting Fat Rampage versus Fedor now. I mean, it was a great fight, you know, a decade ago. It's a fun fight now, right?
I like it.
I like it.
Rampage is a savage, so, you know, he's got the showmanship. Fedor's crazy, you know.
Wasn't he good. Like 260 in his last fight, Rampage?
Something like that. He's
I mean, we
big.
Went from 205 to something that came out and was like,
"Well, he's been
who's that dude?"
He's
to
training
Rampage
with
Chet Jackson.
Congo too, so you know he's used to fighting, rolling around with these bigger guys.
Yeah, he can hang. I guess.
Yeah,
we'll see. I got a favor Fedor in that fight, but
me too.
You know, Rampage could be the guy to retire him, I suppose. With a vicious KO, it could happen.
Or he could win and both of them can retire, because I'd like that, too.
I'm not against that either. Shit.
That's so crazy. A lot of retiring needs to be going on here.
Bellator, they're still keeping that mix of like these tournaments that they're doing and these kind of tent pole fun fights.
Yeah.
With, you know, Fedor versus Rampage definitely falling into the latter category.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and then other big news for Bellator, Sergio Pettis is now headed over there, leaving the UFC.
That's a good signing on their part.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's a young star on the come up right there. That's not one of these over-the-hill UFC fighters. Absolutely. Far from it.
Yeah.
Sergio could go over there. I don't think they had a 125 division, so I assume it's 135.
135 is looking for something to spark it up, too.
Yeah, that's a good addition. He could quickly find himself fighting for a title there with a couple wins, I'd say.
Yeah, we'd fight Horiguchi, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Because not too long ago, we were talking about Sergio Pettis possibly fighting Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
Because if you think about it, before the Henry Cejudo fight, everyone kind of thought Henry Cejudo was going to lose that fight, and then DJ wasn't going to have any contenders. And
Pettis and was then expected Pettis, to win whatever that his next fight was.
Well, no, Joseph Benavidez was supposed to beat Pettis. He was coming back, remember, from his knee injury. And everyone thought that they were going to give Benavidez a third chance at DJ. And then he lost. He beat Joseph Benavidez, and then everyone was talking about that he might fight DJ. And then, of course, DJ ends up leaving and loses to Henry Cejudo. So not too long ago, Sergio Pettis could have been.
He was in that title talk. He could find himself in title talk in Bellator. Pretty
that's what
quick.
I'm saying. Like he's not too far gone from that guy.
No.
The only fight he really lost in the UFC, the guy literally sat in a triangle, standing up and guard, fucking just hitting him with little jabs, doing nothing for fucking three rounds.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm excited to see what he can do over there. That's cool.
Yeah.
Good for him. We'll get some sponsors again.
Fuck yeah.
Right.
Make that money.
Well, that probably wraps up the show for today, man.
Yeah.
You know, we got an exciting card. It'll be just a few days from when we air here. It's going to be fucking.
Yep. If you're watching this on Thursday, happy Halloween, motherfuckers.
Yeah, happy Halloween, everybody. And, enjoy these fights, however you're watching them. If you order them, stream them, go to the bar, whatever it is, you're going to want to watch these.
Hell yeah.
And catch next week's show. We'll be talking about who the baddest motherfucker is.
Hell yeah.
In the league at this point. And we'll be
no
on
more
Thursdays.
Saddest motherfuckers.
No more sad. Man, it came close. It came close. But if you're new to the show, thanks for tuning in. You can catch us on Thursday nights, WBUZ 95, on the Orange Radio app or at radio.net. 6 p.m. on the West Coast, 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Get all your information at swatmade.com, where you can go out over there, head on the gear button, and get yourself a nice jacket for the holidays. You know, support the motherfucking podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
Peace.